This is an interview with Susie Hindale on February 27th, 2016. Hi, Susie.
Hi.
So starting out, tell me, who is your employer and what is your job?
I work at Benilde St. Margaret's and I'm an eighth grade religion teacher.
And how many grades are there in your school?
It's 7 through 12.
Got it. And where is that?
In St. Louis Park, Minnesota.
And how long have you been there?
I am currently in my 13th year teaching there.
Wow, cool. Tell me a little bit about what your typical day or week, if your days are very similar, just go with day, if your weeks have a certain rhythm to them, talk about that.
Well, depending on the day, I teach anywhere from 3 or 4 classes. I teach 2 different subjects, so I switch from one subject to the other. I teach one subject in the morning and the other in the afternoon. I have more free time in the day than typical teachers do because I'm not quite full-time. So I have some time in the morning to structure my lesson plans, grading, and then a little bit of time in the afternoon to complete things and get things wrapped up for the next day.
And what are the 2 classes that you teach?
The first class that I teach is a general religion class. It's called Christian Leadership, and it covers mostly church history, but a little bit of world religions, Catholic social teaching, and morality. And that's a course that all of the eighth graders take throughout the entire year. The second course that I teach is called Genocide and Social Justice, and that is a semester-long class also for eighth graders that explore concepts of social justice by using the genocide, the Rwandan genocide and the genocide in Darfur as a way to explore those topics.
Wow, that's pretty heavy.
Yes.
And how do eighth graders or seventh and eighth graders handle that? Or how does...
Well, the course started actually as a way to replace a cultural geography class that was dated. The kids just weren't getting much out of it. And with the introduction of new technology, the school wanted to find a way to... move into something different, a different topic. And so the history teacher who was originally teaching the class approached me and said, I would like to include social justice into the class. And actually when we started, it was immigration and social justice, which we quickly found was way too complicated for eighth graders to understand. And they had a lot of questions about refugees and why people would be leaving their homes and instead of an interest in immigration. So we started to look more at the experience of a refugee, and one of the easiest ways for them to understand it was something that was dramatic, like genocide. I actually had a really hard time introducing the topic to eighth graders, thinking that maybe it was too much for them. But we did find a huge interest from them. Many of the students said something about feeling like they were learning for the first time something relevant, something current, something that they could understand even though it was extreme, but feeling like they really couldn't do anything about it. And actually, when we developed the class, my boss at the time said it was one of those experiences that even if they couldn't do anything with it, at the time, it was something that was going to stick with them and they would reevaluate as they got older. And as our students did get older who had taken the course, some of them started to travel to Africa when they became senior high students, and then some of them carried that on to college. We had a couple of students come back and say that they joined Engineering Without Borders and went to Rwanda specifically to help with different infrastructure issues that they were having there. So we felt that even if it seemed like a really big traumatic topic for them, that if we taught it in the right way, it was something that in their future would come back to them.
Wow, that's amazing. That's really neat. Besides the classroom, what is involved in your job? What other responsibilities do you have?
Well, parent communication. A lot of our students are coming from elementary schools into an environment that's very closely tied to senior high. And so there's a lot of helping parents transition from an elementary setting to a high school setting.
What does that mean? What kind of help do they need, or what do they struggle with in that transition?
Well, our students have a really heavy course load. When we say we're a college prep school, we definitely are a college prep school. Our junior high students do not have any study halls. They have 8 classes a day without any breaks. A lot of our students are also very involved in other activities. And so a lot of their struggle when they first come to our school is time management, how to handle the different courses. They move from class to class, which is new for a lot of them, organization. And so we have a lot of parents who have a hard time understanding how they can help their children develop those skills without just doing it for them. And so we have a lot of contact with them, both on how to navigate the academics, but also how to help their kids develop the study habits and skills that they need. What that might look like for me is emailing parents regularly or calling parents regularly to discuss their students' scores, why they're struggling in my class, or even just to communicate with students about what they're doing and what's happening in the classroom. Other things that I do in my job would include some student support. We meet regularly to talk about students who might be struggling, what their needs might be, how we might help them, and then we assign those cases to different people who can be either check in with them or mentor them. A lot of curriculum development. I am really my own department in the junior high, and so in the 13 years that I've been there, I have really developed the courses that I teach. And so I do spend a lot of time both during the school year and in the summer changing what it is I'm teaching, how I'm teaching it.
Who's involved in these, the student support, when you said you meet to decide what to do and talk over, who's involved in those?
Well, in the senior high, there is a specific student support team that includes counselors, deans, administration. In the junior high, because it's such a small school, it is all of the junior high faculty and staff, to the extent that it includes the counselor, the diversity coordinator, the service learning coordinator, and the counselor that we have. The counselor we have in the junior high isn't there every day. So that means if students have needs during the day, that we have to kind of filter that out to the person that we feel is most appropriate, whether that's a learning specialist or another teacher.
Have you also, I know you have in the past, also participated in certain committees as far as like the management or administration of the school? Are you doing any of that right now? Or
all of those committees have been dissolved in the last 2 years, but I'm not sure where they will go from here. A lot of the committees that I belonged to were ones where the school was in crisis and we needed to come up with something to do about it. And so the committees were created to address the issues. I'm not sure that they ever did address the issues, which is probably why they no longer exist. But the committees included how to give information and become transparent for information that was coming from the level of the president, and how those decisions might affect the academics of the school, which the president typically is not involved in. And then a committee to help negotiate, negotiate is a strong word, to help advise the board and the president about the needs of faculty when it came to benefits and salary.
Interesting. In your, so your children go to a daycare at your school.
Yes.
Correct. And so what is your, so what time do you leave in the morning?
What time should I be leaving or what time?
Both.
I try to leave by 6:45 in the morning. The kids are usually up by 6:20, 6:25. It takes about a half an hour to get to work. And the kids are dropped off by about 7:15, 7:20.
And then what time? So you, oh, you said you have some time in the morning then before your first class?
I do. I the school day starts at 8 o'clock. We need to be in our classrooms by 7:30. I do not teach the first two periods of the day. I do have a homeroom in between.
And do you end up seeing the kids throughout the day?
I do. I actually, the daycare isn't terribly close to my classroom, at least through the building. But if I look out my window, I can look directly into the daycare. The kids are often outside playing, and so I can see them walking to the track or the field, or sometimes they walk through the woods at the back of the school. When the weather isn't okay for them to go outside, then they walk to the gym or the wrestling room, and so they're walking through the school building, and you can typically hear them coming. A lot of times when people are free, they tend to gather in the hallway to say good morning to the kids as they pass through. But I do see them, probably not every day, but maybe once or twice a week, I'll see them during the school day.
Oh, that's nice. Do you like that?
I do. Yeah. I really like it.
And what do you do for lunch?
We get 25 minutes for lunch. Our lunchtime is at 11:15. So I get very used to eating lunch early. I buy my lunch at school every day. We actually, when we ask student visitors about what they like best about the school, usually lunch is their answer. We have an outside company that caters lunch for us. And so it's one of my splurges is to eat, to buy school lunch every day. And then I sit in the faculty lounge with the other women that I teach with.
Why just the women?
Because the men are on lunch duty and they have to eat in the cafeteria with the kids.
Why is that?
It's part of their, we all have certain jobs, flex duties that we have to do, whether it's wandering the halls or covering detention. And the men who do the lunch duty have just done it for years. And that's
just their thing.
That's our routine. That's our habit.
Huh. So in the 13 years that you've been teaching, how have you noticed any changes in the students, like over time? Are the students that come into your classroom today different than the students that came in 10, 12, 13 years ago?
I wouldn't say that the students are necessarily different. I bet they are. But it's actually harder for me to notice that than it is to notice that I'm different. And the way that I teach is different. The students are definitely much more connected than they were before. They have access to a lot more. When I started, we weren't a laptop school, so students didn't have laptops with them. Now every student has a laptop, has a cell phone, has an iPad or a Kindle or some other device. And so I'm sure that that is changing who they are. Every class is different. Some classes have the ability to make better decisions than others. And I think that that's, I don't know that they, I've seen them change overall, mm-hmm. instead of each one having its own identity.
And why is that? I'm really interested in that, this phenomenon of like one class is different than another. Like this is a really good class or that class is terrible. Why do you think, how do you think that happens?
I'm not sure, other than that a lot of the students that come in are coming from three specific schools. And so whatever identity they develop in elementary schools tends to follow them through. I don't know why some kids tend to be leaders and other kids don't. And when I say leaders, I don't necessarily mean in a positive way, but which ones are going to determine how the class is going to act. Some classes are more academically driven, some aren't. If I looked at our population right now, the class, our current eighth grade class, tends to make very impulsive decisions, tends to not think through what it is they're doing, and they tend to be very apathetic. The next class coming in, the seventh graders, are completely opposite. And I don't know if they have any impression on each other. The only other change that I can really see that's progressing is that we have fewer students that are coming from private schools. We have many more students coming from public schools. And their preparation is different. Their experience is different. We have more students coming to our school for no other reason than their parents want them to feel safe. And they're worried that if they went to the public middle school, they wouldn't be. And so I think part of it is also the decision of why they're at the school and what they're looking to get out of it.
And in terms of the preparation, what are some of the things that you feel like are the differences in the preparation?
Depending on the school that they're coming from, they're not used to any homework. And so from an academic standpoint, they don't know how to organize their time and how to study and how to complete homework. In some schools, homework is a part of it, but they have some freedom to choose whether or not they're turning it in. So from a grade standpoint, students really struggle when we suddenly have a deadline for things and they're supposed to meet those deadlines. The development is different. The skills are different. And they're not always ready for the college prep level of the academics. But on the other hand, their experiences that they've had are not as isolating as the students who have come from from private schools. They have an awareness of people that are not like them and what those different experiences might be.
Interesting. So you mentioned that you think the way that you teach or that you have changed or the way you teach has changed in that same time period. What ways do you see that playing out?
I think that one of the biggest ways that I have changed is just in cutting back the number of hours that I work, which means teaching less and being less available during the school day than I used to be. I have fewer students than I have before, which allows me to connect more with them in the classroom. But I'm not around as much after having children. I'm not around as much, so I'm not developing the relationships with my students that I would have by them coming in after school to get help or have a conversation or whatever. So I feel like I'm less connected to the students than I used to be.
Do you feel like your skills as a teacher have changed?
Yes. I think they changed dramatically after the first 2 years. I think that I tend to be, if my students were to express my teaching style, they would say that I'm fairly rigid, compared to other teachers, though from my understanding, they don't necessarily see that as a bad thing because they know what to expect. But they definitely would say that I have a high expectation and a structure to my classes that maybe not all other teachers have.
How is it, does it, because you teach religion, which is not necessarily a college requirement and stuff like that. Does it, is it ever problematic? Is it ever treated as a less important class than, you know, science or
by students,
by anybody?
For sure. It definitely is, for two reasons. One, because to be honest, the majority of our students are not there because it's a Catholic school, even if they say they are, if that makes sense. It's not the academic part that parents are interested in. It's more of the culture of the school that they're interested in. We are in the middle of a Jewish neighborhood, so we do have a large population of Jewish students in our school who tend to appreciate the theology more than our Christian students. They tend to identify more with their faith from the students in that neighborhood tend to identify more with their faith than our students do with theirs. Most of our students who are Catholic are non-practicing Catholics. So there's the reason why they're there and they're maybe what their experience is within their family. But the course is also one that's every other day. So any class that doesn't meet every day is not considered a core class to them. A lot of our students say that the school is very different, or the religion classes are different than what they were in elementary school. And so they feel that they're not prepared for it. The seventh graders really struggle because some of them have never been in a religion class before. And they tend to conclude at some point that they just don't belong in the class and shouldn't be taking it. By the time they start eighth grade, though, the course is so different than what any of the students have ever had that it tends to even the playing field a little bit for them.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Do you ever think about how our high school, we also went to a Catholic high school, how our high school was different or similar from the one you teach in?
Yes. I don't know if this is true or not, but money plays a big part in our student experience at our school. And I think that the gap at our school is much wider than it was for us in high school, but there's a part of me who acknowledges that I might not have paid any attention to it when we were in high school. We have a lot of students at our school who come from, they would say famous backgrounds. I'm not sure that I would go that far. a family that's well known. Our school is, as a Catholic school, quite liberal in a way that Xavier wasn't. We have a diversity issue that I know we had at Xavier, but it's different, just given the demographics. And we definitely have people who have a political agenda for our school. And I would say not within the school, but parents and parent communities.
Hmm. Similarly, I don't know which things I remember correctly, like if I would still think that today. But one thing that I sort of remember is there being high athletic emphasis at Xavier, and academics were mm-hmm. pushed pretty strongly. Do you have athletic? How does athletics work at your school?
Athletics are definitely a draw to the school, but more so from the sense of my child might not get a chance to play for the public school because the range in athletes is greater. So they come to our school. We definitely have, our hockey program is outstanding. But you would come to our school for hockey and not necessarily academics. Our hockey players leave the school day at noon during the season to go practice because that's when our ice time is. So you're obviously making a choice in that if you're going to our school for hockey or if you're going for academics. I would say our school is very similar to Xavier in the writing. Our kids come back from colleges saying that their writing they were well prepared to write in college. And I remember that from Xavier too. And I would say that there are a lot of students who are there for that reason. They want the English lit background. We also have a engineering program at our school that a lot of students come for. So there's a definite mix between athletics and academics. But I would say, again, I mean, Xavier, the athletics were definitely important and a big part of it, but the pool is much greater in the Twin Cities, and so that makes it a little bit harder to distinguish.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Are there things that you, are there any qualities or characteristics that you admire in another teacher or other teachers that don't come naturally to you in the way that they?
Yes. In teaching genocide and social justice, I've always taught that with another teacher, and I've actually taught it with two different teachers. And both of them have different qualities that I really admired. One of them was extremely dynamic. He was really good at making a story out of everything that he taught, and he was definitely okay with pushing the boundaries on what he might say in class. The teacher that I work with now is also quite dynamic. He has a really good rapport with the students. He can joke around with them in a way that other people can't because they might feel offended. But he's very good at relating to them. He commonly joins their circles when they're gathered in the hallway, and he'll take out his cell phone and pretend like he's Snapchatting and texting with them at the same time. He pokes a lot of fun at them just for being teenagers, but they're okay with it.
That's neat. And conversely, what are some things that you think you are particularly good at or that you do better than maybe some other people do in your job?
I'm finding that I feel like I always need to be in a position of creating something. And that's both professionally and personally, that I am my best self when I am working on something that I feel is innovative or creative. And so instead of ever feeling like I have something good that can just stay the way it is, I am constantly making it different. And I think there's value in that, but I think it's also self-serving. I just have to keep working on it. My former boss would have said that I have a passion and an ability to identify the student experience that other people can't necessarily. Though I kind of believe she thinks that all religion teachers did that, just because they were religion teachers. So I wasn't always in agreement with her on that. My students would say, one of the questions that I commonly ask them in a survey is, do you think I'm fair as a teacher? And they would always say, yes, we do think you are fair. And that's really important to me, that they feel like they were heard, they feel they were respected, and they feel that I treated them fairly. Uh-huh. And thank God they've never answered other than that on the survey.
Do you think, are there any ways where people that know you from outside your work, so family or friends or other people, do you think there's any ways that they would be surprised? Are you at different person at work than you are outside of work?
Yes. Do you mean from a student perspective or from a coworker perspective or?
No, other people. Like would I be surprised if I were a fly on the wall? Are there things that I would see in you as someone who doesn't know you, has never seen you at work? Would I be surprised, or were there things where you think you behave differently or do things differently than you do outside?
Well, I'm definitely very careful about the things that I say at work, because when I sign a contract, it's a contract that says that I uphold everything that the Catholic Church teaches, which is really hard to do in a liberal school. So I would say, to a certain extent, yes, that my personal beliefs don't match the ones that I need to uphold at work. So I'm definitely more guarded and careful about the way I act and what I say when I'm at work. My social circles have come closer together. I mean, the people that I work with, I also see outside of work. So I would say that from that perspective, it's not that different. Mm-hmm. But I do know when I was younger, being very careful about how I might be acting in public or what might be around me even in public, and what people might be doing or saying in public, because I didn't want to misrepresent who I was professionally.
Mm-hmm. Are there things in your upbringing or things that you would attribute specifically to mom and dad that you think really play a role in you as a teacher, how you do your job and carry out your career?
Yes. I think one of them is high expectation. I think that mom and dad had an expectation that we did the best that we could, and that they held us to that level of expectation. And I think that I continue to hold myself to that expectation and to hold my students to that expectation. That if they're going to do something, I want them to do it to the best of their ability. And I don't really care beyond that, what they're capable of. So whatever their ability is, that's what I want. I think the other is honesty. I feel like they expected us to be honest, or at least truthful about what we could do and what we did and how we treated other people, and have a certain level of respect for other people. And I think that I'm very attentive to that, or concerned about that. And I want my students to be honest. I want them to be respectful. I want them to care about what they learn and how they're going to apply that in their lives. I think those are probably the biggest for me.
Cool. Okay, and to wrap this up, I just wanted to see if you can list off all of the jobs that you've had since you started working.
Well, in high school, I was a housekeeper at Paper Valley Hotel. I worked at Faith Child Care by the time I was in high school and college, maybe. I worked at School Specialty when I was in college. And then when I was at school, I worked at the Health Education Services desk at St. Ben's, which required me to go through all of the student health records and make sure they were up to date. I also cleaned apartment buildings when I was at school. And then, let's see, I went right from college to working at Benilde St. Margaret's. And then in my summers, I also worked at a daycare in St. Paul for a little while.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.